Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. The lines are alive. We're going right to the lines. We'll take you in order. Do not hang up. We're going to start with William of Berlin, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, William?
It's an honor to speak with you, and all I have to say is you tell it like it is, and I got to thank you. I'm grateful to be able to listen to this show. You tell it like it is, and that's all it is. I got to say, I'll hang up and listen to you later. Rock and roll, brother.
William, my brother, thank you very much. I appreciate getting a call like that. It really makes my day. Thank you. Now we go to Jack of Caledonia, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Jack?
How you doing today? Just a comment about some disingenuous radio ads. You know, and your comment about Ann Coulter dumping on Trump. You know, she dumped on Trump in 2016, you know, all the way through. She was never a fan of his anyway. As far as disingenuous radio ads, there's one that is from, I forget what political action group it is, a company, but it's talking about Ron Johnson using tax laws to give millions of dollars to his buddies, you know, to the people that donate to him, all right? What people have to understand is that a tax law is a law. It's passed by the Congress. And who's been in charge of Congress the last couple terms? Democrats, okay? So when they pass a law, it's the Democrats pass it, the Senate approves it, okay? It becomes law. Now, if I have a business and my tax accountant does not take advantage of current tax law, which is not illegal, I'd fire him, wouldn't you?
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying, Jack, but let me...
So that's the point. I mean, the point is that these radio ads talk about Ron Johnson's buddies making or getting, you know, millions of dollars of tax breaks. Well, they're available to everybody. And I guarantee you Nancy Pelosi is taking advantage of it. You know, her and her husband amassed a $500 million bank account, you know, while she's been in office. Okay. Anybody say anything about that? No, it's business, okay? Does she do it inside dealing? Sure she does, okay? Is it legal? Yes, it is, all right? Is it wrong? I think it's wrong. I think congressmen or anybody who's sitting on a board that is making a legislative body that's making law for a specific industry shouldn't be able to trade on it for 2 months after the law has been announced or enacted. Okay, it's just a dirty
deal. I get your
deal.
Point. Yeah, let me respond to some of that, because you're making points. I very much like to hear both sides. By the way, with Ann Coulter, she spent all her time attacking Obama. She attacked Hillary Clinton. She attacked Joe Biden. She stood up for the Republicans. She stood up for Trump. Now she's turning on him. It's a bad sign. That's number one. Number two, let me just say the reality of this. First of all, Nancy Pelosi didn't make $500 million while she was in office. Nancy Pelosi is married to a guy who's a money manager. He's very wealthy. That's true. And that's on him. That's not on her. The second thing is, you've hit on a very important point. Should the Congress be able to trade stocks? And I think no. And there are some reforms that have been proposed, and they're proposed by Democrats, quite frankly, to say that they shouldn't, because Barr, not William Barr, but the Richard Barr, the guy from North Carolina dumped about $1.5 million in stock when the COVID hit because he had anticipatory knowledge. The woman who was the senator from Georgia did the same. Her husband, he's a Republican, owns the New York Stock Exchange. When you're in Congress, Jack, and you're in a committee and somebody says, why don't we pass this law, and you start to hammer it out, you go out and trade, you know very well that's going to move a market when it becomes public. It's insider trading. It's all it is. So there are Democratic proposals to ban members of Congress from trading individual stocks. Let them trade mutual funds, the S&P 500 index, or, you know, that kind of thing. Secondly, with regard to Ron Johnson, some tax breaks are not open to everybody. For instance, they pushed through that tax break that 87% of it went to the top 1% in the country. Remember that? It was well over $1 trillion. That was pushed through. And yes, the whole Congress has to vote on it. But when you say that, you know, the Democrats control, the Democrats lost control of Congress, didn't have it back until 2018. And so, but before then, these tax laws passed under Trump, and they did benefit Johnson and his friends. Now, you can say, well, Johnson's just one guy. Well, yeah, but there are only 100 senators, and he's one of a little over 50 that passed it, and he was influential in committees and so on. So you can say, well, just because he didn't do it by himself, he's okay. Well, no. The truth is, and it's not illegal what he did. I will tell you that. You're right. It's not illegal what he did. But does a public servant vote for something that he knows is going to benefit himself and his donors and his buddies? Because it did. It did. It benefited 80% of the benefit went to 1%. Another example is Scott Walker in this state. He passed the manufacturer's exemption. If you own a manufacturing company, you don't pay income tax. It doesn't matter if you created new jobs or anything else. Does that help everybody if they own a manufacturing company? Okay, how many guys listening to this right now own a manufacturing company? If you do, call it in and let me know. I'd be surprised if I get any calls. So the point is that a lot of tax laws are designed to benefit certain people, certain segments. There is a law, and I want this clear to everybody. You cannot do what's called the left-handed, red-haired man with a limp tax law. What do I mean by that? You can't so specifically describe something that it only applies to one guy. For instance, in the old days, you might have something like this. You know, if you live on Shrewsbury Lane in Falls Church, Virginia, and you make a living farming and you made over $1 million last year, you don't pay any taxes. Well, there's only one guy on Shrewsbury Lane who's a farmer who made over $1 million. That's called the red-haired, left-handed man with a limp exception. You can't do that. But what you can do, unfortunately, is say people who own manufacturing companies don't have to pay taxes. Well, does that apply just to one guy? No, it applies to everybody who owns a manufacturing company. But it's not right, in my opinion. So listen, this is very good stuff, Jack. I appreciate you calling in. I like both points of view. And you are right that there are people who trade stocks on the Democratic and Republican side. And Nancy Pelosi was heavily criticized because her husband made a lot of money in the stock market, just like the Republicans in Georgia and North Carolina, trading stocks in advance of COVID, because these senators were all given a private briefing and senior members of Congress saying there's much worse than we think, blah, blah, blah. Then Trump went out and lied about it. He said it's under control. It'll be done by Easter. And then Barr down in North Carolina went out and said it'll be done soon. It's fine. And these guys all in private are dumping stock. Pelosi's husband did too. Right. You're absolutely right. And that was all investigated and none of it was prosecuted. But two wrongs don't make a right, Jack. Two wrongs do not make a right. The answer is do not let any member of Congress or their spouse trade trade stocks. You just shouldn't do it. Thanks for calling in. Okay, we are going back. We are going back. Kevin McCarthy. Now, this is amazing. Kevin McCarthy put out a Martin Luther King statement yesterday. Here's what he said. Quote, Martin Luther King's words and example inspire us today as we celebrate a great American on Martin Luther King Day. Now, that's a great statement. Great statement. Kind of glad to see the Republican Party say it, except people immediately hit back on McCarthy. He just says stuff like that. He does not walk the walk. He talks the talk. For instance, McCarthy voted no on the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. In other words, voting rights. He opposed the results of the 2020 election, wouldn't certify Joe Biden as president of the United States. He opposed mail-in voting in November. And here the hypocrisy is unbelievable. Here's where the guy goes. He said, I oppose mail-in voting, quote, it is a disgusting politicization of the pandemic. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? They're in old folks' homes. You couldn't even visit them, remember? You know, they had a new grandchild or a husband or wife wanted to visit their spouse. They had to put their nose up to the glass and kiss the glass. You couldn't go near anybody. Mail-in voting permitted a lot of people to vote. And McCarthy, who's now going on and on about Martin Luther King and voting, is the guy who said it was a disgusting politicization of the pandemic. Now, the Twitterverse just lit up. Guy goes, dude, you voted no on all voting rights bills. Another guy, dude, you are a fake sick man. You are disgusting. Look, here's how I come down on this. It's important, at least symbolically, that the leadership in the Republican Party, no matter what skullduggery they are up to, give the appearance of honoring Martin Luther King, of understanding what he stood for. Because people don't remember when it was proposed to have a federal holiday of Martin Luther King, a lot of states opposed it, wouldn't pass it. Arizona was the last one, they wouldn't pass it. And a lot of Republicans wouldn't honor him. The fact that they are now publicly saying they honor him is an advance, but it's not enough of an advance. It's very hypocritical to say, quote, Martin Luther King's words and example inspire us today as we celebrate a great American on Martin Luther King Day, which is what McCarthy said, then you vote against voting rights. You oppose mail-in balloting, for Pete's sake, and say that the mail-in balloting itself is a, quote, disgusting politicization of the pandemic, instead of saying it's a cure for the pandemic. It lets people vote who couldn't vote otherwise. So the Twitterverse lights up all over the place. Dude, you voted no on all voting bills. Dude, you're a fake sick man and disgusting. So what do you do? I'd rather have somebody, a phony like McCarthy in Moscow. Mitch is another one just mouthing pieties about Martin Luther King in Kentucky. Come on. And he hardly ever goes to Kentucky. He hangs out in Washington. He goes down there wherever he has to. But the truth of the matter is, that's not enough. Not enough. They are doing everything they can to knife voting rights. Not only that, getting rid of drop boxes, getting rid of absentee ballots, limiting the number of voting machines so people stand in line for 8 hours. This is bad stuff. We're going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.